Hello, this is Alonzo Bowden. Welcome to episode 125 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? This is another one of those special episodes. You guys have said you like when I have guests. So once again, I'm going to have guests. I have some brilliant people here, starting with comedian Clayton Thomas, who has his own show on Playboy Radio.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was like an applause coming. Yeah. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm good, man.
You don't usually have
Thank
guests?
You. No, it's usually just me.
Oh,
it
wow.
is usually just me giving my opinion, jokes on the news. We do it for 20 minutes and then we go. People got shit to do. They don't have time to listen to my podcast for hours. I'm like, listen, let me knock this out in 20 minutes. Thanks for listening and move on.
But you people, got fans. Your
but
fans
no,
love it.
It has been a thing that I've done some shows with guests, and there I get tweets, and please, people, send a tweet. Keep sending tweets. But some like the guests, and then others are like, no, I like when you do it.
Mm.
So I'm just trying to balance it. But you know, it's cool. It's cool. So I really appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me.
Another great comic, Owen Benjamin.
Hello.
Owen, yeah. One-hour comedy special. And he has a podcast here on the Sideshow Network called Why Didn't They Laugh? So you got to check his out. What's up, Owen?
What's up?
Glad to have you, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thank
I'm pumped.
You.
I'm fired up.
Thank you. And a very special guest, a good friend of mine and an absolutely brilliant actor, Jeff Korber. And
yeah.
You, like,
for everybody.
We don't have time for all of Jeff's credits, so I'm going to run down a few. He was in The Walking Dead. What was your character name again? Walking Dead?
Joe.
You was Joe.
I was Joe.
He was Joe.
I died.
You made a bad decision. Like, I'm not an actor, and I don't mean to tell you how to do your job, but never attempt to kill the star of the series.
Or to have his son raped.
Yeah,
that's
see,
another
you set up the son
call.
Being raped. You try to kill him. I was like, yeah, this is just last episode.
It's like, yeah, in the sides here, we got some son rape. Does that mean I'm not gonna make it to the next season?
Probably not going to make it. I tried.
Also,
I tried to talk him into it.
Sons of Anarchy, Shameless, and he's going to be in the new Clint Eastwood movie about Sully. You guys remember Sully, the pilot that landed the plane in the East River and saved everybody in New York. So, again, Jeff's a brilliant actor, but also a great guy, and thank you. Thank you for coming down.
Thanks for having me.
And doing the podcast. So we're going to jump right into it. Listen, I've said it before. I'll say it again. The Republican reality show, which is what I call the Republican primary, it is the most entertaining thing you can watch. Now, I feel bad. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I'm not a Republican, but I feel bad for reasonable Republicans.
Yeah.
If you're the old-fashioned Republican businessman, I have a friend. His name's Tony. He owns a restaurant. And he's owned businesses all his life. You know what I mean? He's the conservative, like, suburban Republican. You know, he's got a wife. Well, he's older now, so he spoils his grandkids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I talk to him, he's worried about somebody suing him at his restaurant or how much he has to pay his employee. You know what I'm
right,
saying?
Yeah.
But he's a reasonable man. He's not yelling that gays should never get married or send every Mexican back to wherever they came from. Because Donald Trump sends Mexicans back everywhere, like Puerto Rico or Dominican. Like, they're all Mexicans to him. So.
The ones
no
that are working for him.
Right,
yeah,
right.
No hablo inglés.
So
like, he says stuff like that. It's
so
hilarious.
That Republican has no horse in the race. They don't. It's a series of crazy. So the latest thing, last week's debate, apparently the moderators asked questions. And the debaters were not happy about that because they have talking points that they want to say. And supposedly the moderator is supposed to ask a question to set them up to say exactly what they want to say. Like, you can't, in other words, hey, don't be asking me about something I don't know, like policy or issues. You know, this ain't Hillary Clinton. We ain't out to get her. So this was so bad that the Fox News anchors, and I always cover when Fox, when they go against the grain, you know, that's big news. But the Fox anchors said that they are ridiculous, that even the Fox anchors will not, they literally, Donald Trump said, he wants to negotiate with the broadcasters about the questions. And they said, the Fox News anchors, Megyn Kelly, Shepard Smith, Greg Jarrett, said no, that like they're not going to do it. And what do you guys think? Should they be allowed to set up their own questions before they debate?
That's called master debating. I was like, I just want to do it the way I want it. She said, just do it. Just ask me about real estate in Manhattan and the color gold. That's all I want to address.
They answer the questions that they want to answer anyway. Everyone's making shit up. No one is actually answering questions or coming up with good policies.
Right? That I love when they do that, when you ask them one thing and they answer a completely different question. Like, it's like, you know, Mr. Christie, what about legalizing marijuana? You said all marijuana users should go to jail. Global warming is fake.
Exactly. I love spaghetti.
Yeah. I do that with my girl. She's like, why are you home so late? I'm like, it's funny you brought up spaghetti.
Does that work?
No. God, no.
Yet it works for Republicans, apparently.
Absolutely.
Well, here is the one that's really amazing.
One of the Fox News anchors.
No, he actually defended Hillary Clinton. In a way, which he's probably out of work now. He's probably getting fired. But Jarrett, the anchor, said that when they said that the Democratic candidates got off easy, he said, no, that's not true. He said that Hillary Clinton was asked, aren't you a flip-flopper? So in other words, he's saying that they asked Hillary Clinton a tough question. So now I see you guys can't see the surprise in Clayton's eyes.
I'm all surprised
when they turn on his. Yeah, when Fox News in any way says something positive about a Clinton, I don't know.
Yeah, it makes
it's about to rain days in the desert. Yeah. So what do you think, Clayton? Should they be allowed? Should they be allowed to dictate their debate?
Well, okay. In one sense, you can argue for yes, because then you get a different set of talking points and you get a chance to get their real reaction as opposed to something that's rehearsed. But at the same time, you can't do that when these people are, okay, it's like I'm trying to compete with these people, not trying to compete with you to defend myself and compete with these people. It's one of those things where I think it would probably be best left alone as it already is, but it's kind of being caught off guard. It's almost like, you guys are in entertainment, you know, for example, you're doing an interview with somebody and you're expected to talk about whatever comedy show you have, whatever movie you coming out, TV show. And then the interviewer is like, so been a fan of yours since I was a kid. What made you write this joke? And you're like, look, the movie is about this. And he's like, yeah, the movie is about that. But what about when you went on the road in 19? You're like, come on, man. Like, that throws people off and it'll ruin whatever actual talking points they have.
But the flip side's true, though, because sometimes in those interviews, it seems so staged where they're like, hey, Denzel Washington, so I hear you met a panda. And right. It's like, there's nothing organic about that.
But here's the difference. This is what the big difference is. That. You're talking about actors promoting movies, comics promoting specials.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're not talking about someone who wants to be the president of the United States.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to be the president of the United States and I ask you a question about economic policy, or I ask you a question about ISIS, or I ask you a question about pretty much any damn thing in the world, like, you're going to be president. Like, if you look back at Barack Obama, there was nothing they didn't try.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, they hate the fact that he's smarter than them and he was always ready. Or, like, just Hillary Clinton, just a few weeks ago in the Benghazi hearings, okay, they said that the guy who was supposed to become Speaker of the House said that we set this up to bring down Hillary Clinton. Like, he got in trouble for telling the truth, basically. But she sat up there and answered questions for 10 hours. And some of the questions were the dumbest things. Like, come on, Hillary, what was in those secret emails? How to kill Americans, right?
It's almost like right out of the wire, like they're interrogating
her. Yeah, and yet she was ready for it. And I'm going to give you one, and this, again, now, Megyn Kelly is probably, and it's in a weird way, my favorite Fox News anchor, because every now and then she will say something that, like, she said something to Dick Cheney when Dick Cheney said that Barack Obama was like the worst thing ever out of Iraq. She looked at Dick Cheney and she said, well, you were wrong about the weapons. You were wrong about the invasion. Weren't you the worst thing ever about Iraq?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then Cheney blinked, and now Megan can never have children. But anyway, he's got powers.
He does.
But and we were talking about this before. Just so you know that Megyn Kelly is a true Fox News reporter, she is the one who reassured children all across America that Jesus and Santa are white. So Megan's still crazy enough to be at Fox News.
But, absolutely.
But Megan looked at the list of demands, and she said, oh, yeah, that's not going to happen. And she said, started adding to the list of demands. She said, maybe like a foot massage. So, you know, she's talking about how ridiculous it is. I love that, that Fox News people are going against the candidates. It'll be interesting in the next debate, because I don't think these are presidential debates. I think these are, how can I out-crazy Trump?
Well, at the same time, yeah. I will say, I will give her Santa Claus is white, but I will not allow Jesus to be white as well. But, yes.
Yeah, I go with that. I mean, Santa Claus from the North Pole is not a lot of sun.
Not a lot of sun. Got to be white. Jesus, different area growing up.
Not bummed when there's black Santas. I'm fine with that. You can have black Santas. That shouldn't bother anyone.
It bothers me to have a black Santa, and I'm going to tell you why. A black Santa, first of all, does not make sense. Okay, like a black Santa, and I'm going to say this because I'm a black guy as opposed to somebody else saying it. A black Santa going down people's chimneys presents the incredibly wrong idea. But he's giving and cool, but I don't like a black Santa coming at near anybody's chimney.
No one even has chimneys anymore.
Nobody has a chimney.
Like it's like everyone's got like a heater.
Yeah.
Clayton, I was going to ask how long you've been hanging out with Raven Simone.
Raven is out of control, man. She is out of control. She's saying some stuff. This is like, here's the when you know you fucked up as a celebrity. When you become a meme on Instagram, like after you say something on a daily basis,
yeah,
you fucked up. And she is out of control, dude.
Reagan, for those who don't know what I'm talking about, Raven Simone is on The View, and she was That's So Raven, and blah, yeah. And she keeps saying these crazy off-the-wall anti-black statements
yeah.
that even the other panelists on The View are sitting there like, what the fuck is wrong?
Like, give me an example.
Like she said she would not hire somebody with a black name, and then she made up a name like Watermelon Rhonda or something like that. But she said she would not hire somebody if they had a black name.
Well,
her name is Raven.
Raven.
Yeah, she's named by like, I could have had a good joke. I missed it. Who's the dude who wrote The Telltale Heart? I'm such an idiot. Is that a Baltimore? Yeah. She has an Edgar Allan Poe name. Would have killed because you wrote it Raven.
That would have been so
good. Yeah, I bobbled that one.
I feel bad now because now you've told us how good it would have been, and I agree. And I'm like, damn, I wish we could just go back in time like 20 seconds.
That for those who are listening, now you know what comics do. With jokes that don't work. Man, that could have been funny. I'm with you. That could have been funny. But it never will.
And that's why you should all tune in to Why Didn't They Laugh?
Yeah.
Because things like that happen. Yeah.
What were you going to say, Jeff?
Oh, I was way back on the fact of the Republicans asking for rules so that they wouldn't actually be seen for who they are.
Yes. Putin. Like, if you don't give Putin rules. You're not like, hey, Putin, don't ask this.
Yeah.
He's like, I will ask whatever the fuck
Putin
I want.
Is because Putin doesn't give a shit.
Right.
The Republicans, though, they don't want us to see who they are. They want us to see who they want us to see them as. It's sort of like a perpetual first date.
Exactly, right. A first date.
And it's great you bring that up because they have their code words that they use to their base. And it's primarily with race.
Yeah.
But they always have certain things like, urban.
Oh, yeah.
That's urban. Yeah.
Comedy bookers do the same thing, though.
Absolutely do the same thing.
Yeah, urban or, I said a long time, like illegal alien means Mexican. Okay, nobody's looking at Canadians.
Yeah.
The Swedes, they sneak over here from Sweden with their blonde hair.
No problem.
And height.
Guys, I can hear you. I'm sitting right here. We snuck right in.
It was extremely tall, by the way, if you haven't met him.
Yeah, Trump's grandmother was an illegal alien.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
No.
Wow. Well, from Scotland or some shit.
Yeah, well, you have Rubio, like, his parents are Cuban immigrants.
I was going to say Rubio. Rubio.
I think, like, both sides do that shit now, though. You see the Democrats do the same thing, where they just have these words. And
well,
these,
all
like,
politicians
but was there
do
a cutoff?
It,
but- like, 2000? Was that the cutoff? Like, anyone be... Before that is okay, but anyone after?
If you talk to Native Americans, it was 40,000 years ago. Everyone's got a different cutoff point.
They do have a beef.
Trump's starting to remind me of like, I just watched The Dark Knight recently. He's got the same talking points as the Joker.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't care about money. Like, it's literally, and then, remember when that one gangster's like, $1 million for the head of the clown, and then you see that the fucking Mexican guy wants the same thing.
Yeah.
He's like, I got a message. I like little things.
That is so random.
That's true.
It's hilarious, dude.
Yeah.
The same talking. Right.
It's the Joker. He's like, it's not about money.
Moving on
to America.
To the other side of the election. And I have said this before. And everything I'm saying I've said before, but I like to hear me talk. Hillary Clinton. The funniest thing to me about Hillary Clinton is how many people hate Hillary Clinton and don't know why.
Yeah, what's
that's
that about?
That's hilarious.
They just like, I hate Hillary Clinton. Why?
That's so funny. That's so fucking true.
That's perfect.
That yeah. is so now, and this is, you talk about getting ahead of the curve, okay? A Republican congressman from Alabama, and I know that's hard to believe, but he says that we should start the proceedings to impeach Hillary Clinton,
which is ridiculous.
That's insane.
She's not president yet, but just in case, you know, we want to get ready. We want to get ready now. And I'm sorry about stumbling through this article, but we talked about this before. When you try to read something on your iPad and the shit keeps popping up saying buy the app, so it's ruining my chance of finding this guy's name. Mo Brooks is a Republican from Alabama. He raised the prospect of impeaching Hillary Clinton. Okay, he said if Hillary Clinton is elected, so they did a poll in North Carolina. And they said, if Hillary Clinton is elected president, would you support or oppose impeaching her the day she takes office? And 66% of the people said that this was a poll amongst Republicans in North Carolina. 66% said they should impeach her the day she's elected. 24% said, no, we shouldn't impeach her the day she's elected. They probably wanted to wait a week.
Gotta give her
a week.
Be a gentleman, and then, give her a week.
Then 10% was not sure, and those 10%, they ain't voting because they can't read. So this gets back to it's so funny to me. Like, they hate Hillary Clinton so much.
Yep.
That's like Nickelback.
We should impeach her.
I love Nickelback, by the way, and everybody hates him. I was like, wait a minute, why?
I like that about you.
You know why? You know why?
They didn't do anything. I hate.
We don't know rock music enough to hate him. Like we black people just hear it. Like, yeah, that's all right.
That's good.
Pretty good. We don't know it. It's like, you know, rap. Like white people hear it. Oh, he's good. And you're like, no, he's not.
He's horrible. You know,
what are the black equivalents of Nickelback?
Oh man, probably Chingy.
Yeah,
Chingy.
Chingy is probably up there. Who would you say?
But I don't even know. Like, cause I'm like you. I'm cool with Nickelback.
Yeah, I like Nickelback.
I'm not here to do a debate about Nickelback. We're talking about Hillary Clinton being impeached. Owen, stop it,
sir.
When you say the Nickelback, Jeff, I mean, not Nickelback.
Do you hate Hillary Clinton? Do you have a reason?
I love Hillary Clinton, and I think that the people hate Hillary Clinton because she's a woman.
Right.
And it's like, okay, it's like, the Americans can't say they hate Obama because he's black, yet they do all the time.
Right.
But now they're saying they hate Hillary Clinton. It's because she's a woman.
Yeah.
And no goddamn woman is going to tell me what to do, especially that some bitch who's married to that guy that I really hated. And it's just hatred.
I feel like Mo Brooks has a different agenda against her. Like, I think he probably suffered the same fate that Bill Clinton suffered, and his wife left him. So the fact that Hillary stayed with
him—that's hilarious.
He's like, fuck Hillary, yeah. Let's get her out of there.
Fuck her for understanding a man's needs.
He got away with it. Well, you know, you think they sit at home, and Bill just like, damn, at least they waited till I was done to impeach me. They getting you going in. It's again, it's just the Republican Party. The Republican Party has gone insane.
They've never been sane.
It's like professional wrestling.
I mean, there was a time when you understood them. Now, one of the things that's funny about Republicans is they worship Reagan, right? Reagan is their god. And everything Reagan did, they would hate
today.
Yeah, Reagan raised taxes.
He'd be a socialist.
Reagan gave amnesty to immigrants. You know, Reagan, like, they would hate. The only thing Reagan did that they would still like is Reagan destroyed unions. They'd like that. But everything else about Reagan, he negotiated with Iran, right? He all of that shit.
Well, the Republicans have become the voice of no. Know this, know that, hate this, hate that. It's all about hatred. It's the power of hatred. And at least the Democrats continue to try to be the voice for something.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more power in the immediacy of hatred than there is in the immediacy of support. But over the long term, it doesn't mean shit because they keep taking things away from the people who elect them.
Because you have to keep finding enemies.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's actually like the Nazis do it. Like, that's what they did. You have to define who you hate, and that's how you get power. But then once that's over, now you have to find another group you hate, and then you just become insane.
And so they're appealing to the hormonal reactions of
yes,
people.
That is very much the, people say that people vote based on feeling, not on fact.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
And the
yeah.
Republicans know how to break. They're one issue people, like guns, for instance, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But they're like, Democrats want to take your guns away. Obama wants to take your guns away. Now, Obama's done no gun legislation
right.
or nothing, but they're convinced he's coming into their house personally. Personally, he's going to drop by and
like
take
Black
your
Santa.
Guns. He's the Black Santa that's going to come take your guns. But, you know, it's great what you said about Hillary Clinton being a woman, because I think there's also a resentment, and Barack Obama got this resentment too. Hillary Clinton's not just a woman. She's a woman that's smarter than you.
She's smarter than Bill. She beat Bill at Yale.
Yeah, she's Hillary Clinton. When she, if you saw any of the Benghazi hearings, you saw like Hillary Clinton. Where she loses is personality. She's not that folksy, friendly kind of thing. Bill was a master of that.
Yeah.
Even George Bush, even W. Like a friend of mine had to do some writing for a White House dinner, and he said he met him and he couldn't. He doesn't like Bush like at all. This guy's fully liberal Democrat, and he said, "Man, the guy is charming."
Wow.
He said, when you're in the room and talking to him, you forget that this guy started wars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he had that.
For no reason.
Right, right. But Hillary doesn't have that. But when it comes to issues or questions, no matter what they ask her, she has an answer. Like she was a Secretary of State. She represented the country to the entire world and, you know, and did a good job, et cetera. Like and I think there is a resentment toward the fact that a woman, like if there's a progressive insurance commercial out now with that chick Flo, where she's like in the 50s, and there's an announcer and he's like, oh, women don't work. And I think that's their dream. Like 1953 is the Republican dream, right? Black people knew
simpler
their place.
Simpler times.
There were no Mexicans. Like there was not one Latino. Even Desi Arnaz wasn't here yet. You know what I mean? There was no, women stayed home. Kids were quiet, and if you beat your family, they kept it quiet supposed to, you know.
Yep.
That is their dream, and like, it ain't going to happen, but they're holding on, so.
One can only hope. It's kind of like I'm still holding out for the return of Moesha and the Wayans brothers to come to television. It's been 15 years. I'm holding out. That's how Republicans
The Wayans you'll get because there's another generation coming up, so there will be.
There's more Wayans.
Yeah, there's always more.
1,000 more Wayans.
Yeah, in that time period that they're iconicizing, you always forget the bad shit.
Yeah.
Like the threat of nuclear Holocaust, women never came. You know, it's like, there's a lot of shit.
I love the way you put those two things in one sentence.
Yeah, it was a horrible environment.
So, but Clayton, what do you think about this is pre-election impeachment. And isn't that the greatest endorsement Hillary can get? So she's like, so you've already got me as president. Thank you for that.
She's for sure going to win.
Thank you for that.
For sure. Yeah. There's no question.
Thank you for counting me out. I really appreciate it. The voters are going to depend on that. As far as the gun thing with Obama or the
The impeachment.
Well, I feel like this, man. Hillary Clinton, first of all, I completely agree with you that Bill Clinton had way more personality, and I could even see George Bush being charming. However, Hillary reminds me and maybe a couple other people of your mom, where she's stern, she has an answer for everything, but you're not going to like her, but you're going to love her. You have to respect her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how I feel about it. I don't feel like she's, even though this is a popularity contest and there are a lot of people who like her, I don't feel like she's basing her entire campaign on, all right, let me try and be likable. She's trying to focus, I could be a great president.
She doesn't try to be likable. And full disclosure on my knowledge of Hillary Clinton, my sister used to be the vice president of the teachers union in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
So she got to work with Hillary Clinton when Hillary was a senator. And she said that when you're in the room with her, she's great.
Mm,
yeah.
You know, she's everything you would think. But when she gets in front of a microphone and talks to a group,
doesn't translate.
Right. She loses it somehow. Just pretty much the opposite of comics.
Yeah.
Who in a room full of people are great, but one-on-one are the most socially awkward people.
It's the worst.
I thought you were funny. No.
No.
I'm not, and I don't like you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm telling you,
Santa's
Jeff.
White.
We are not good. We are not good with people. We are good with groups. I can't speak for actors, but comics,
kind of the same.
We're good with groups, but one-on-one, rather not.
I'll give you 20 seconds one-on-one. Like, if it's, let's say the environment. Let's say I get off stage and you're meeting the people after the show. I'm good for about 30 seconds of, oh, you were great, man. I like that. Oh, thank you so much. I'm engaging, charming. But right after the compliments stop and it's like we both have nothing to talk about, it's awkward. Like, yeah. I'm good for 30 seconds and I got to walk away.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not good at parties. Like, if I walk into a party, it's like, no, I'm not.
This is once in a while, you're okay.
Me too. Yeah. That's why I have a drinking problem.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I'm like, where's the bar?
I support you in that.
Yeah. And I'm just like, well, if I drink, I'll have something to talk about.
I would like to see Hillary Clinton. I'd like to see some of her grandmother. Like, she has a grandkid. You know what I mean? Mm. And grandmothers are like the nicest people in the world. You know what I mean? Like, there's very seldom you hear about the abusive grandmother. And whoever that part of her personality that when she's with her grandbaby playing or whatever, I think if she risked, because it is a risk,
yeah.
But I think if she risks showing some of that, it would do wonders for that cold personality thing.
Again, I don't think she can afford that because people are looking for someone who's her whole thing is a woman is strong enough to be the leader of the free world.
Yeah.
And for her to like go all grandma is to say they can just point to that and say, look at that. She's still a chick underneath.
That's why it's a no-win situation because
it really
it's like,
is.
But women can be strong and be fully women. Like they don't have to. Like they can embrace that and still be.
Yes, we know that, but the world doesn't know that.
Right.
And the finger pointers and the haters. Because
guys can do it. Guys can be like, look at my little kids. Everyone's like, oh, but if a woman does it for somehow that's a weakness, which is insane.
Hold on, but here's the thing, and touching on what you said, Jeff, I think the world does know that. Because all around the world, women are leaders, and it's no big deal. Look how many major countries have had women in positions of power, including, you know, the England, Italy, France, Germany.
India.
They've all had women, and they didn't lose. Like, we're the ones who are behind the curve on this one, that it's a big issue. That, like, around the world, they love Barack Obama. And they don't understand, they're like, why? Why do you hate him? We're going to make America great again. Really? Because what's so bad? Let me see. Unemployment is lower. Stock market's up. Save the auto industry. Millions of people have health care now. Mm-hmm. Housing's solid again. Like, what part of this?
$2.
Gas is well,
the best
when you leave California, it's $2. California is still about $4 because they get us. But you're like, what part of America is not great? Like, other than you 15 people, who are pissed off.
Yeah.
Who else is not doing great?
Yeah, the best presidents are always great in legacy. They never get props. Like, FDR was hated. Hated.
Touché.
People hated FDR. And then he beat the Nazis. He beat the Depression. Like, he's amazing because he did what Obama did. It's just not engaging with this emotional ranting and just slowly moving things until it worked. Same with Lincoln. Lincoln, someone fucking shot him. Of our best presidents.
But don't you think it's because of the people who are in charge of pointing us in directions? You know, like that whole bullshit about the Confederate flag.
Yeah.
You know, that's been going on for years, but we're all up in arms about this Confederate flag all of a sudden, and then they pass this fucking trade bill that screws the American working man and woman completely. And no one even notices it. It's not even a ripple on the radar, but the news organizations are filled with Confederate flag bullshit.
Well, the title of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention, is just that it's because the news is gone. Like, this came up with me. The whole Who's Paying Attention thing came up back when Sarah Palin was running, was a vice presidential candidate. And I said, you know, if Walter Cronkite was still around, his Sarah Palin interview would be, bitch, read a book. They wouldn't tolerate this shit. When we had real reporters, when 60 Minutes was real, Clayton, you young. I don't even know if you're old enough to remember this, but me and Jeff same. Remember you used to be scared? Like if 60 Minutes knocked on your door, they had film of you trying to run out the back. Like it was like, we're here to get your ass.
Uh-huh.
Now people are like, come on in. Let's sit down in the living room. Like there are no reporters now. Who challenge that? And they buy the bullshit story
because the corporations own everything.
Yeah, and they own the news. And the news became a for-profit institution in the '80s, first with CNN and then with Fox News. That's when it became about radio, and that's when you started getting the beautiful news anchors. Like you stopped getting reporters, and you started getting models that read the news.
Yeah,
you know, there was a good run on HLN. Where it was the Morning MILF Network. It lasted for about 3 years. I would just tune in. I didn't care what they were saying. It was, every hour, it was, we got a different MILF to read the news. I'm like, this is in my wheelhouse right here.
Dude, the Czech Republic,
I'm a MILF guy.
Meteorologists will come out naked, and they'll put on the clothes based on what they should wear that day.
Yeah.
I swear to God, in the Czech Republic, I used to whack to it. Like, I used to live there. And I'd be like, dude, fuck news.
Thank God they invented the internet, Owen, because I'd hate to see you just sitting there waiting for the morning weather report.
I couldn't get Wi-Fi. It was right after communism.
He had the time rubbing one out to the morning news. Like, if you had somewhere to be, like, damn.
It was the morning weather. It was really quick.
It's like, not the dude.
Not the dude.
All right.
Still continuing
on our theme of preemptive crazy.
Right.
Okay, and that's the only way I can describe this, preemptive crazy. Oregon County passes a measure directing the sheriff to block state and federal gun laws. They've somehow, and this doesn't make sense, okay, but the residents of Cross County, Oregon, passed a ballot initiative that requires their sheriff to block the enforcement of state and federal gun laws that he thinks seem unconstitutional. Now, even the sheriff said that, I'm not sure the courts would agree with that concept. I would just bet there would be some legal challenges to it. Yeah, there's probably going to be some legal challenges to a local sheriff ignoring federal law. Now, for those of us who don't know the Constitution, which is all of us, right? We're not constitutional lawyers, but basically, it's like the federal wins. Like, it's federal law, then state law, then crazy local county ordinance, right? Like, I don't think the sheriff could just... We just had Kim Davies, the crazy woman out of Kentucky, who was like, I don't care what the Supreme Court says. They were like, yeah, well, you're going to jail. Because it's the Supreme... Like, it's in the name.
It's called Supreme
Court. Supreme. You know what I mean? Like, if you had Schoolhouse Rock when you were a kid, you know how this shit works. That's where I learned the Constitution when Bill became a law. I was like, I got this. So... How crazy are we? And with this article, there's pictures, because this is one of those places where it's not just guns. It's like semi-automatic weapons. And you know what I mean? It's not that I need a shotgun to protect my house. It's like I need a weapon to protect my house from 80 attackers at once. So are we at that level now that you're actually voting an ordinance to defy federal law? What do we think?
If that's the case, and that even remotely gets close, then every city in the country is in trouble, because that means it doesn't just stop there. It goes to the most ridiculous things. And then, who knows, the Confederate flag comes back, because now we're ignoring federal Supreme.
Yeah, well, the precedent is bad. Because once you do that, like then every community will be like, well, according to the Constitution, I can whack off to the meteorology. Yeah. You know, you become power. Like, anything you want, you can just interpret. Yeah. I know that was an insane example.
No, but I completely get it. It was definitely insane, but I completely
I saw your process there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, use ridiculous example. And then I just used that one, and I'm like, that's...
So, Jeff, what do you think? Because it's interesting what you said about that, because one of the problems and one of the reasons Barack Obama talked about increasing federal gun laws, and like they always use Chicago as an example. Chicago has very tough gun laws. Like, you can't buy a gun in Chicago. And he said, yeah, but the problem is you can drive 2 hours to Gary, Indiana, and buy a bazooka and bring it to Chicago. Mm-hmm. So that's why they say there have to be federal laws so that you can't get through a loophole. You know, in other words, you go from a major city or a city that has tough laws, you can drive an hour and get anything you want. So,
this is just another example of the way that the whole system works, is that the people in power get to stay there by getting all of us riffraff to argue amongst each other. And we get broken down into ever smaller groups, it's balkanization. You know, it's just a small group, small group, small group. Who's my tribe? And my tribe is no longer Americans. My tribe is no longer, you know, it's like, broke down into races, it broke down into sexes, it's broke down into I live here and this is my property and don't fuck with it.
I got a gun to protect it.
Exactly. You know, and these are not my people. And so you end up with just like, it's just you, especially with the internet, it's just you. It's you and your fucking fantasies in a room, you know.
That's so true.
Now, do you think Do you think, like, when they have these people, campaign planner, like, in other words, somebody sat in a room and said, hey, you think they're crazy enough to go for this shit? Let's come up with a law that the sheriff can protect them for, like, you know, like the way we're talking, like they're in a room saying, hey, this shit. And somebody said, that's ridiculous. It's a total violation of the Constitution. And somebody else said, yeah, but they're pretty stupid.
I think that's giving him too much credit. I think someone said, you know what we should do? We should pass a fucking law that we don't have to follow their laws. Yeah. And they're going like,
yeah,
really?
That's basically what they're saying. Yeah. We've passed a law saying we don't have to follow their laws. Yeah.
Kind of brilliant. I got to give it to them. I'm starting to really get into this.
My family did that.
You're with them.
You know, we don't have to follow the rules of Studio City in my family.
Everything would fall apart. It's like the sheriff. Completely. Where'd he go? Did he go to, like, law school? It's like, no, he went to DeVry. But he's going to lay down the law because he knows the Constitution.
It's like, that seems vaguely unconstitutional to me. I'm not gonna enforce that one.
Right.
I'll tell you the thing I love about it, though, is the sheriff telling him, like, hey, I don't think this shit's going to fly. Like, in other words, he's like, look, I'm not going to federal prison because of you guys voting some crazy shit in. Listen, anybody want to be sheriff?
Everybody knows in movies and TV when the feds come in, it's their jurisdiction, guy.
Yeah, right. The two feds show up, and the cops, the local cop who's smarter, they're like, ah, shit.
Yeah, it's like, this is our case, Scagnetti. Right. It's our jurisdiction.
But then the security guard solves the crime. Yeah, but he's, absolutely. You know, he's carrying the feds. Have you ever played a fed? Jeff?
No, man, I'm always on the other side of shit.
Really? You're always a criminal?
I'm the bad guy, yeah.
I've done both. I've played the agent and the officer, and I've played the criminal. Criminal is so much more fun, right? Because criminal, you don't give a shit.
You end up dead a lot, though.
Yeah,
and
well,
it's like,
again.
Do I get two episodes? No, you're dead.
Because, Jeff, you fuck with the star. You know what I mean? Like me, I protect the star. Like, I'm security for Steve Martin in the Steve Martin movie. They're like, oh, well, you're going to live.
Yeah.
You all right. You know, only two scenes, but you're going to, that's
look
right.
Through the
that's
script
right.
for plot
I'm
points.
I'm pulling out my movie credit from 15 years ago because that's all I got. Ringing down the house, baby.
I loved on an episode of Power Rangers. You remember I tweeted
that's
a
right.
picture.
That's
I
right.
loved it. He was on Power. Yep. I was like, yo.
I was Secret Service on Soul Man, Cedric Show.
Boom.
Nice. I had like four lines.
Boom.
And you lived. And that is
but I was not a character with any meaning. But I had some lines.
You know how funny this is that we're talking about our scene or our line and with a guy who has like major, like, yeah, I'm in the new Clint Eastwood movie. Really? I had a line on a
I know, I was just trying to impress him. I was just looking at you for approval. I'm like, I listen in scenes.
I told a joke that got a laugh once. I mean, come on.
We're telling the NBA All-Star about our high school basketball career. that's what's fantastic about this business, that it is that, and it's all good.
You know what I like to remember is that the people who dress in costumes at Disneyland, they call them plushies.
Yeah.
They're called actors, too.
Oh, I thought plushies were the guys who wore those costumes at orgies.
Yeah.
Well, those are furries.
Those are furries.
Sorry. Different group.
I actually know some of them, too.
Some furries?
They're all actors. Yeah, furries.
Do they have, like, dick holes in the costumes?
They got all kind of holes in the costume.
So you could wear that when you're watching the weather.
The weather. By the way, that was Czechoslovakia in 1999, so I think things have changed. Or no, 2000. No, 1999. Yeah, no one wanted to help you in stores because communism was so recent.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, if I just buy, just take what, why do I try? It was really interesting. Because they would get the same bread no matter what. So they didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I'm like, sell me on this thing. They're like, you get what you want. There are two coats. Pick a coat. Like, I'm going to go jerk off to the weather again.
So, okay. I'm going to take it. How are we doing on time? We're doing all right. Yeah, I guess we got time. Real quick. Because this just struck me as funny. No, we're having a ball here. Owen is hilarious. I got to do your podcast. I'm crashing your podcast.
You better.
Me and Clayton just going to walk in and say, hey, what the fuck are we talking about here? Where were you? I was just in Czechoslovakia whacking off. So let's move, since we talked about drugs and politics, let's move to one of the big I'm going to say failures in the U.S. policy. This quote, war on drugs, and our association with drugs. And as most listeners know, I'm in recovery. I've been clean, sober 27 years. So I'm long retired, but thank you. But I mean, I was a drug user in the 80s, okay? Mm. I was a cocaine user and a crackhead, and I went to rehab, and you clapped for me. But my timing was actually horrible, Clayton, because had I won Last Comic Standing and then went straight into celebrity rehab, my career would have taken off. The idea of getting clean before the crew, it was actually quite stupid, and I wish I had lasted longer as a drug addict, and then I'd be somebody right now. They'd be like, man, that drug addict won Last Comic Standing. You'd have seen me on Oprah, and you'd have cried. But anyway.
Yeah, your Rogan stories about that were amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I talk about it. You know, it is who I am. It's part of my life. But anyway, and it's very interesting. The person who wrote this article, Bob Beckel, this is a guy who was a same thing, drug addict, alcoholic, in recovery, had some kind of chronic back pain. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they did the surgery on his back. He said the surgery was great, but then he had a really painful recovery, like he had to learn to walk again and so on. So they put him on Oxycontin and Percocet, which is a hell of a combination. So he says, this is the opening of the article, in my youth, it took me many years of heavy drinking to become a career alcoholic. And you like when you're focused with a goal in your youth. But he said, this year it took less than 8 weeks of medical treatment to become addicted to Oxycontin and Percocet.
Wow.
We have become a nation of drug addicts. Their prescription drugs are the dirty little secret. Anything you feel, there's a pill for that. Mm-hmm. Oxycontin is basically heroin in pill form. It is incredibly addicting, and you hear people talk about this all the time. Like, it goes beyond the pain. It's like, you know, well, we had Rush Limbaugh, right, the ultimate hypocrite, who's like, put all drug addicts in jail, blah blah blah, and he was doing enough Oxycontin to floor an elephant, you know. But anyway, what I mean is it bullshit? Is it real? Who's responsible? Do you think doctors have some responsibility here in just writing prescriptions to give out pills like candy? Is it the medical? What's going on? What do you think? Are we a nation of addicts? Are we creating more addicts with these pain pills?
100%. Well, you know what? And it goes even beyond just the pain pills. You look at the most addictive drug that is legalized is sugar. And
yeah, for sure.
You get so addicted to this stuff, man. So it's like these drugs, just because they're approved, doesn't make them any less dangerous than heroin or cocaine or weed or whatever the case that, you know, people's recreation is. And they make it even more available to you by making it popular. The only reason alcohol is celebrated is because it was passed, what, 30s, 40s, after the Prohibition situation. It's like, okay, this is popular now. Let's make commercials about it. If they make commercials about cocaine right now, it will be acceptable. So these types of things aren't against what has been normal. It's just now beginning to seem as a problem because more people are making articles about it and confessing, hey, I'm addicted to these legalized pills. Every time I feel pain, I take them. And then even when I don't feel pain, I take them because I'm addicted now. So it's like, I never even look down at the people who are on these types of drugs. It's just one of those things, like, they go through their own battle. Some people don't even have pain or ailments. They just get these things and feel better because of whatever hell they're going through.
Yeah.
But isn't it also, if you want the drug, you know what pain to tell them you have?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because there are commercials for drugs now, right? And they say, ask your doctor. And I have a friend who's a doctor, and he said that if you come in and you say that I have this symptom and I think I need this drug, they almost have to do it to avoid malpractice, because then you can say, no, really, I mean, this is
where, like,
the
leprechauns
doctors,
now.
Like, people have become so educated, right? Because if you go on WebMD, you're gonna die, right? Whatever's wrong with you, you're gonna die.
I always have AIDS on WebMD.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus. Exactly.
They always say AIDS, man. It's crazy.
And people have become so savvy in this drug game that they know how to tell a doctor, you know, my knee hurts in a certain way, or my hip, and yeah, I'm gonna need 3,000 Oxycontin. You know,
so. It's also not accepting kids being different. Like, everybody wants.
Oh yeah.
I one of the funniest Onion articles I ever read. The title just said, "Ritalin cures the next Picasso." You know, it's like, let your kid be wacky. He's a kid, yeah. You know? It's like pharmaceutical companies are treating childhood like it's a disease.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's like, let him be hyper. Let him run into walls. That's why I'm a piano player, because I had so much energy. I just did that all day long. If Ritalin existed then, I wouldn't be have that skill.
That's a great point.
Wow.
Everything. Like, you can't even have a personality. I remember as a child, I was watching something the other night with my wife. And I'm like, wow, they're giving these kids all of these labels, and this is what's wrong with the kid. When I was a kid, it was just, and forgive this politically incorrect statement, it was, your son has a learning disability because he is mentally slow, and you can obviously see these people who, you know, have this problem, I guess at the time you would call it, with them, and then you would see the kids that didn't have that problem. And nowadays, if you don't read fast enough, oh, your kid is illiterate. Like, no, he just reads slower than somebody else. But it's like everybody has a label, and it's unfortunate because all of these kids now can't be kids. Like, that's what makes you individuals, having a different thing about you.
And
well, that's,
I'm sorry. Go
no,
ahead.
I was going to say that that's a whole other issue. No, we're getting off topic because I want to get. No, it's okay, and it's a good argument. I mean, you're right because but it starts at that age when we start drugging kids because this kid runs too much or that kid, you know, like they're kids. You know what I mean? Like when they say kids have a short attention span, I'm like, well, he's a kid,
right?
like if you're 4 years old. Everything in the world is new. You are not going to be able to focus when every sound, every color, every animal, every car, everything you see is like, wow, wow, what, wow. You know, you know what I mean?
What the hell is a table?
so.
Or a different table, because the one that you got at your house is the only one that you see. When you go somewhere else, you're like, oh my God.
You got a glass table? Then, what the fuck?
I'm gonna tag that story with another story, and it gets into what you were talking about. Clayton, about labels and about what we see. Heroin. Okay. Heroin has taken over as the number one drug. Heroin is cheap right now and kids are taking it. And you know who's doing heroin?
White kids.
Thank you. White kids are doing heroin. So the whole narrative has changed because now it's not the street junkie, throw them in jail drug.
Now it's they need help.
Oh my God, it's a problem. Yeah,
that's fucking true.
This
like,
particular
get him in jail,
story.
He's trash. Now that they're white, it's like he's going through something.
Let me read from this story right here, okay? When Courtney Griffin was using heroin, she lied, disappeared, stole from parents to support a $400 a day habit. Her parents paid her debts, never filed a police report, and kept her addiction secret until she was found dead of an overdose. Okay, the father, Doug Griffin, said, when I was a kid, junkies were the worst. I used to have an office in New York, and I saw them. He said, now junkies is a word he would never use. He said, these days, they're working right next to you, and you don't even know it. They're in my daughter's bedroom. They are my daughter. Okay, and now when the nation's long-running war against drugs was defined by the crack epidemic and based in poor, predominantly black urban areas. And this was in the 80s where if you were black, you did crack and you went to jail for 30 years. If you were white, it was cocaine and you got off with a warning. But so now...
I was a white crack user.
There you go.
I just want to throw that out there. I was a white crackhead. So.
And
it's very progressive of you.
Thank
very,
you. Yeah. Now, I did have to go into the jungle. To
okay.
score.
So. Yeah. So anyway, they said that this is the difference because the demographic of people affected are more white, more middle class, and their parents are empowered. They know how to call a legislator. They know how to get angry with the insurance company to pay for treatment or rehab or whatever. And they have been instrumental in changing the conversation. So I got to say this is bullshit. This is, you know, because it's kind of like the cops beating and killing black people, that this is something that black people and Latino people and everyone's been saying has been going on forever. And they were like, no, you know, what did you do? What did you do to deserve it? And now that we have video phones, people are like, holy shit, like every day. And we're like, yeah, we pretty much told you this happens every day. So now I think it's good to change the attitude toward drugs. I am a supporter of a group called the Drug Courts of America that specifically says for nonviolent drug offenders to send them to rehab. It's a program. They have judges and courts. They send you to rehab instead of jail. And if you complete rehab, you keep your record clean so you can work and blah, blah, blah. But if you don't, then you go to jail and you do your time. But the reason I say this, it's good, but it's bullshit. It's because what about all the black people, Latino people, minority people, et cetera, that have this on them? Because once you've been to jail for a drug conviction, mm-hmm. once you have a felony conviction, you're not getting a job. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like your whole life is ruined.
Yeah.
And so I think it's good that we're advancing, but we still have to change. Why is it always race and it's always in favor of white? You know what I mean? Like, when do we get past that?
When there's more non-whites in power, which is never.
I think it's money. It's money. That's my opinion. I just think there's institutional slavery for so long in America that was based on race that you just, you know, at the start of the country, there was such a disadvantage that it just keeps perpetuating through money. Like, the war on drugs is a war on poverty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's like, just like what we were saying, like, white people do tons of blow and they don't rob a liquor store because they have money. Like if you are poor, you rob a liquor store because you need money, and you now are fired up with energy because you just did a bunch of fucking crack. It's not about drugs. It's about people that need the help. It's people with no money. Like, they have no support system. You know, a single mom with four kids trying to work on $20,000 a year, it has nothing to do with drugs. It's there's a lot of shell games like that.
Right. So what we have to do, though, it's talking about this, and this guy, this dad or whatever, is a perfect example. Like, oh, they used to be junkies until it was my daughter and my daughter's friends. Now it's a drug user with a problem.
Right.
Well, you know what? The black kid is a drug user with a problem. The Mexican kid is a drug user with a problem. The poor kid, because they never talk about this, but when you go to the middle of America, when you go to Kansas, Iowa, the Dakotas or whatnot, these kids are doing meth, and they are exactly the same as crackheads were in South Central or New York or Detroit 20 years ago. Like, they make no mistake. These meth head kids are white kids that are the same problem, killing each other, same crimes. So when do we say, okay, drugs are a problem? Whether you be black, white, Mexican, whatever you are, Asian, you know, your drugs are the problem.
This whole thing is, drugs are a problem, but why are drugs a problem? Drugs are a problem because it is really fucking uncomfortable to be alive. There's nothing to believe in anymore. They took away, we can't believe, you know, since Watergate, you can't believe in the government, you know, and since the Catholic Church came out as child molesters, you can't believe in religion. I mean, there's nothing underneath anything, and you got to do something to get by, and those with money can do it, and those without money still have to find a way to do it, and, you know, and that's someone else's problem, you know. Other people problem.
Because poor white people have a similar existence. It's like my grandfather was a coal miner and would drink just a full bottle of whiskey every day to just deal with the fact he was in a hole for fucking 16 hours a day,
breathing coal dust.
Yeah, he died of the black lung. It's like my town, you know, it's a very white town, but it's like three nuclear power plants, no land tax because there's fucking the nuclear threat all the time. My parents' house is worth $50,000. It's poor white. And it's like, it's a similar vibe where people are always trying to escape with drugs or alcohol.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and it's great because that brings it almost full circle to where we started in the beginning talking about Republicans. What you just said is great because it's true. A poor white person has more in common with a poor black person
100%.
Than they do with a rich white person.
Yeah.
But they vote to support the rich white person. Now, I'm going to throw out something else on this drug thing, on this heroin addiction, and see what you think of this idea. Is it good? I mean, it's not good that suburban white kids are doing heroin. But is a side benefit of that the fact that we will look at drug use differently? In other words, now that rich white kids are doing heroin, now the junkie isn't the abandoned person on Skid Row. Right. Now the junkie like, oh, there's a problem. We need to put more money into rehab. So in other words, is a side benefit of this horrible situation the fact that now they'll look at sending people to rehab instead of sending them to jail and so on? Do you think that's going to happen because rich white kids are doing heroin?
I don't think so. If you look at the statistics, I looked him up when I heard about this article, and it's, you know, last year there were 8,000 heroin deaths. There were 88,000 alcohol deaths. You know, and that's not even counting the you know, the people killed in alcohol-related car accidents.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, and what are we doing about that? There's no education happening. There's no alternatives being given to anybody. We're still looking for some way to be okay on the planet, you know, and alcohol is, they're going to keep doing that. And if heroin comes along, they're going to keep doing that. And as long as everyone is still doing that, they're not, you know, the powers that be don't care. They don't give a shit, because as long as we're busy killing each other and yelling at each other and judging each other for this shit, then we're not, you know, we're not coming after them for their jobs.
Right.
I think, like, with that, so now we got to find a solution. The solution is to get all of the white kids to encounter the problems of all the minorities, and then change can happen. See, I warned all of my black police officers to start shooting these white kids. Let me stop before everybody's
see,
like,
Clayton? Yeah. See?
I'm sitting right here.
Maybe we should start busing, because that would really work.
Honestly, busing did work. I was bussed.
What's busing?
I always joke. Where you bus black kids to white schools and white kids to black schools.
Mm.
I always joke that I was bussed before it was an issue. So I grew up in a black neighborhood. But I really, because it happened with me in the early 70s, and by the mid 70s, it became this issue, and white suburban parents got really scared of black people and they stopped it. But I got to grow up going to white schools. And one of the benefits of that is when you put kids together, 5, 6, 7, and 8 years old, they don't know color yet.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And they're like, this kid is cool, that kid isn't. I like that. And then that stays with you through the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the reasons they didn't want it, because they didn't want these kids to learn that black kids are human. Mm. They didn't want, there was that great movie with Denzel as a football coach. What was the name of that movie?
Clash of the Titans.
Clash of the Titans. Where the white kid brought a black kid home.
Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans. Yeah. He brought the black kid home to meet his mom, and his mom like freaked. Like at first she freaked. And then of course they became the best of friends.
Yeah.
Cause the best defensive guy was a white guy, and the black guy, but it was just one of those things. Once they encountered each other, they became human, and they went to this segregated school after spending the summer together as a football team. And all the kids at the school were like, what the, you can't be. And the white kid's girlfriend was like, you can't hang out with the black guy. Mm. And the white guy was like, well, you're not going to be my girlfriend anymore. Mm-hmm. Flash forward 40 years. And that white girl is now the black guy's girlfriend, because you know, that's how shit works. But
but that's when you say,
but
that,
anyway,
not even to interrupt you, and I'm sorry. It's like with that, I grew up in a white school as well. And I was one of, I think it might have been like 20 other black kids. The school only was like 100 kids anyway. But it was like, I did not know color until my mother started telling me, yeah, you know, them white kids. And I'm sure the white kids' parents will say, you know, them black kids. But what ends up happening is, after an amount of time of being around each other, it's never the kid's fault. It's always the parents for pushing those beliefs onto the kids. Now, I'm not saying to not teach your kids to be cautious, but don't be cautious of race. Be cautious of, if that kid is a dick, then that kid is a dick. It's not about if he's white or if he's Asian or anything like that. But I think the newer generation of kids are going to schools that are so integrated with so many different races that they have the opportunity to not hate.
Some, but there's a lot of places where they are working to segregate the schools.
Mm.
They and again, it's a matter of using codes. Like the whole voucher system, the whole voucher system is about segregating schools. It's about throwing the poor black and Latino kids into bad public schools and subsidizing the white kids to go to private schools. Like that, you know, and I was fortunate, but to be around this to the point where I didn't see in it what you were talking about earlier about us being in tribes. It wasn't until I got to junior high school, same thing, busting the white air, but that was when the tribes formed. In junior high school was when, okay, these are the black kids, these are the white kids, you know? And we used to call it Marlboro Country, because white kids smoke Marlboros, and Cool County, because black kids smoke Cools, right? See, you know, right? Yeah, you remember that shit. That's how you divided it. Then I went to a high school and we had kids from all over the world. Like one of my good friends in high school was Korean. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We had a great soccer team because we had all these kids from South America and no, like people hadn't discovered soccer yet. And we had kids who grew up playing it and we, you know, but it is interesting. And, so I don't know. I think this might help if it raises awareness of drug abuse as a problem to be solved through rehab, education, et cetera, and takes away the color stigma. I think that's a good thing. And that's what I think.
Yeah.
Now, Jeff, and I'm going to have guests more often because it makes my transition so much easier.
You have smooth
topic
transitions.
Topic to topic. Smooth. Because Jeff was talking about alcohol, right?
Yes.
Alcohol and beer is out. And what do you drink in at football games? Mm-hmm. You drink beer, right? Budweiser and everybody else is a sponsor. Well, Tom Brady, who's here to lead us all, had a comment about beverages. Tom Brady said that Coca-Cola is poison. He said it's poison for kids. And he said that the kids eat Kellogg's Frosted Flakes as if it were food. Now, is this... Yeah, he did a whole thing about Coca-Cola and how bad it is. He said, we've been lied to by the food companies over the years. A lot of beverage companies, they still do, blah, blah, blah. And you keep eating those things. You keep wondering why we have an incredible rate of disease in this country. Mm. And here's the thing. Is Tom Brady's goal just to not be liked by anybody? Like, is Tom just like, how can I make more people not fucking like me? Let me attack Coca-Cola and Frosted Flakes. And Jeff, who sent me this article, we were talking about it. You know how quick the NFL had to go to Coca-Cola and say, listen, Tom's out of his fucking mind.
Actually, the NFL went to Coca-Cola before Tom Brady spoke.
Hey, listen, Tom about to say some crazy shit.
Yeah, so...
You know, how many commercials does Kellogg's buy over the course of a football season? You know, let's get back to this is business and this is money.
Yeah.
Now I understand. Like, here's the thing about Coca-Cola, Frosted Flakes, anything that's good like that, because it's full of sugar and it tastes good. It's about moderation, and they show like when the rats get cancer from drinking Coca-Cola, it's like they drank a gallon and a half of Coca-Cola every day of their life. And there's a few people who do that. There's a few people who live on a double big gulp, but most people don't. You know, maybe the stadium Coca-Cola could be less than 44 ounces. Maybe. You know what I mean? But actually, in the article, it says that a bowl of Frosted Flakes with skim milk is like 150 calories. And the reason is sugared cereals took the hit a long time ago where they had to cut back on the sugar. This ain't the same Frosted Flakes that we grew up with. I always loved, there's a comic strip, Calvin and Hobbes, one of the most brilliant comic strips ever. And Calvin used to eat a cereal called Chocolate Frosted Sugar Bombs. That was his cereal. And that's how it used to be, but it's not like that. But here's the other thing, and this is why I think Tom Brady's an asshole for saying this. He is.
He's got a little of the Hillary Clinton vibe, though.
Because
it's kind of like everyone hates him, but they can't really pin
it. No, I'm going to tell you, no, I hate him because he's an asshole. This is the thing. He is a professional football player, a professional athlete. That is a special group of people. You have to be disciplined. Your body is how you make your money. You know what I mean? So, like, I used to do a podcast with Terrell Owens, okay? If you ever want to feel horrible about yourself, stand next to Terrell Owens. The man is sculpted. And he calls himself out of shape. There's not an ounce of fat on him. You know what I mean? But Terrell Owens isn't eating pizza after midnight. Okay, comics do.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Oh man, I had a bad set. Where the fuck is Denny's? You know what I mean.
Love Denny's.
Actors, you have the craft service table. It's there all day, and there's fruit and vegetables, but there's a lot of chocolate on the table too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is an unreasonable standard. You know, like people are going to drink Coke. So if you're going to be the health guy, and all the real health can say it's about moderation. You know, it's about, because like you look at models, right? What do models live on? They live on like deionized water,
cigarettes,
gluten-free air,
tears,
and heroin.
Cigarettes.
Those are the staples of their diet. So, do you think he should be saying this, or should he just shut the fuck up?
Well, I obviously he's completely right about these things. However, he's completely right. Coke is poison.
I legit believe
delicious,
that.
Delicious. But
that's my advice, man. I've done blow. It didn't do anything for me. I tried to quit cookies.
Couldn't do it.
Bro, I was like shaking and shit. Like sugar like fucks you up.
It's really a drug. Like I'll get it like this. I go through periods, and we all do, where we're like, all right, cool, I'm on my health thing, I'm on my workout tip, or I fall off, whatever the case. When I was strictly like, all right, let me cut out the sugars and eat salts, I dropped weight without even trying.
Right.
And then I'm like, you know what? Let me have a cookie. Mm. The cookie that I ate gained me 2 pounds just off the cookie, because I weighed myself before I ate the cookie and after I ate the cookie.
Your insulin gets jacked up.
It's crazy. So the Frosted Flakes and the Coke, they're like it's poison. Coke is poison. The sugar from the cereal, everything in moderation. But at the same note, that's not him. That's not up to him to speak about. Like,
right,
you're put in a position to speak to kids and motivate them and give somebody something to look towards. You can't be this voice. It's kind of like when you look at a comedian's going to View. Comedians are some of the most intelligent people on the planet. We always have been. We always will be, because we aren't just jokes. However, you can't expect a comedian to run for mayor and be taken serious, because we're looked at as jokes. So you can't be the football player that's making these millions of dollars and you're endorsing all these other things and then come out and go against those people who are sponsoring the very thing that helps you live your life.
Right.
People won't respect it.
Yeah, but now you have a guy like J.J. Watt and some others who are into that program of kids should exercise an hour every day. and he's out there in the field, right, and the kids are running around and jumping over. Like, that's what you do as an athlete.
Yeah.
Because, again, in the other side of this, I don't know if you guys remember Todd Marinovich. They
called
him Robo QB.
Yeah.
Todd Marinovich was a kid. He never drank a Coke. He never had a hamburger. He never went to McDonald's. His father raised him to be a quarterback, and he ended up being a star quarterback at USC.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was drafted by the Raiders, and they finally out from under his dad, contract pro. He lost his mind. He started taking drugs. He was surfing naked. Everything that he never got to do because he had never experienced it, when he was allowed to experience it, he lasted, 2 years in the NFL, I think, and was just gone.
That's like when Mormons leave Utah.
Yeah, it's
like, what's alcohol? Blowjobs? What?
Yeah, I think Tom needs to shut up. Like, Tom
needs
to shut up.
That's your point now, because he's being negative about it. Because he can be positive, like that example.
And it's an unrealistic expectation to say that you shouldn't drink the number one drink in the world. Like, Coca-Cola is probably the number one drink in the world.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. First of all, even though it's bad, it is delicious.
Delicious.
That's why it's so bad. It's so fucking good.
I love cigarettes.
Yeah,
I would be smoking my ass off today if I could.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
but when we were growing up, cigarettes were not a bad thing. My mama smoked while she was pregnant with me. You know,
yeah, you were supposed to.
Yeah,
we've all seen Mad Men.
So what? He's just he was answering. Someone was challenging some guy that he works with, some nutritionist, and he had some green drink, and they were saying that it's a snake oil salesman. He said, oh, this is snake oil? How about that bullshit you're drinking, that Coca-Cola? It was in response to someone challenging his health, something he was doing for health. And I don't know. I think it's sort of like the politicians. It's, someone told the truth. You know, this is genetically modified corn covered with white sugar that does nothing but jack you up and make you need more.
And aggressive and fat and depressed.
And moderation with sugar is like, I have 3 cigarettes a day.
Yeah.
No.
Did I quit chewing?
But,
it was impossible.
Some people,
chewing,
no, I say that people are going to do this. You have to be realistic.
Yeah.
You have to be realistic. People are going to do it. So try to educate them into, like I say, let's get away from the double big gulps. You know, let's get away from like, you don't have to eat the whole box of Frosted Flakes, or maybe you eat total or granola 5 days a week, but Saturday morning you get to eat Frosted Flakes. And that's honestly up to the parents to do, because the other side of it is if you demonize it, there is no way you're not making it more popular.
Oh, my God.
Right, 100%.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
That's the yin-yang.
You demonize it, You will. Okay, we got to wrap up in a few minutes. We just got the 10-minute signal. But now I'm going to go to the other end of pro athletes, the kind of pro athletes that I like to see. That Serena Williams has proven that she is straight out superwoman. She literally is not human. See, Serena's not asking you to live up to her. Serena's like, watch me do shit that you will never do. Serena Williams was in a Chinese food restaurant. She was eating Chinese food, which Tom probably wouldn't approve of.
No, absolutely.
But
not.
Some guy, and I don't know how crazy you have to be to not, like, how do you not recognize who she is? But he grabbed her cell phone off the table and he made a break for it. Serena jumped up, literally leaped over tables and chairs, ran his ass down, got the cell phone back, and then she posted this story. It's on her Facebook page. If you go to Serena's Facebook page, she's in a Superman top, Superwoman top. Serena is Superwoman. Yeah. Like, you stole, like, why the hell would you steal from Superwoman? You know what I mean? If you're going to steal a cell phone, Serena Williams, you thought you were going to outrun Serena Williams? Is your name Usain Bolt? Because if it's not, what the... But see, to me, like, that's a fantastic athlete story. Don't tell me not to drink Coke. Show me you leaping over chairs, catching criminals.
Yes,
you,
maybe I will.
Wow! When I'm not winning Wimbledon, I'm catching criminals. Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah. Tom Brady would never have done that.
Tom wouldn't have. No. Tom, what did Tom say about his cell phone? I don't know what happened to my cell phone. My cell phone got destroyed. I don't know where my cell phone is. Serena's like, I got my cell phone.
This is the part they didn't say in the article. There was probably some naked pictures in that phone, and she didn't let anybody see that shit.
Her Snapchat was open.
Oh, man. Well, first of all, I applaud her for catching the criminal, because a lot of times we've gotten stuff stolen. We would have loved to confront the person who stole it. I'm glad that she actually caught up to him. And she was very classy at the way that she got her cell phone back. She didn't come up and say, hey, motherfucker, da 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 da. She said, hey, I think you grabbed the wrong cell phone as I just jogged these three blocks to catch you.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I don't think I did. And then
she gave him an out.
Yes,
it's the best thing to do in a negotiation. Like, let him just have an out.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you accidentally took this from the store. It's like, oh, yeah. But if you're like, you stole that, it's like, fuck you.
Yeah. Mm. She handled it the right way, man. Got her phone back. It's something that I wish I could have done with one of my Power Ranger video games as a child. But I had no speed. And happens.
Well, with these old knees, if you take my cell phone and run, I'm like, well, I can get another phone.
There's a series in that. This old house, these old knees.
These old knees ain't jumping over furniture chasing down criminals. I tell you that.
Yeah, and my size, I'm 6'7", so if someone steals from me or wants to fight me, I don't fight them because I'm so intimidatingly big but not that tough. So if someone is like, I'm going to fight that guy, they'll definitely win.
That is hilarious.
They're
going to
come with everything they've ever had.
Yeah, no, someone's like, no, I'll fuck with that guy. And I'm like a huge guy. I'm like, oh, if he made that choice, then I'm probably going to lose. Because I'm already intimidating, but I got an exposed jaw and I'm not real, you know.
And so nobody's going to reach for Jeff's phone. Because they've seen him in so many movies, he's been like this psychopath that's going to kill you. They're like, nah, we're going to leave that phone.
You're right. Yeah,
yeah, right.
I scare people.
Because they reckon they're like, he, not big, not intimidating, but has played the killer enough that they're like,
I'm in the psyche. They don't even know that they've ever seen me anywhere. It's just like
if you've done some character work, you've learned some shit about crazy people.
You've learned some shit about yourself.
Yeah.
Which is in the Venn diagram of you and crazy people, there's a big overlap.
Oh, right. Man.
I don't mean you personally.
No,
yeah,
me personally.
Yeah,
for
sure. Personally.
I was talking about jerking off the weather earlier.
Yes.
Like, I'm completely fucked up.
Fuck. Okay. It's going to sleet.
Man.
It's going to sleet.
I got it. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. That's the only line of this podcast that's going to last. It's going to sleet.
It's going to sleet. Yeah, it is.
Thank you, guys. This has been phenomenal. Really quick, Jeff, tell us a little about the Clint Eastwood movie. Do you know when it's coming out, the movie about Sully?
Next year, Sully, Tom Hanks. It's the script made me cry. It's so good.
Fantastic.
It's amazing.
Owen, live dates,
Yeah, Brea Improv, November 12th through the 14th. I'm shooting a documentary trying to do 60 new minutes in a weekend. I'm going to bomb a lot of it, but every set I'm doing a 20 new minutes. And at the end, I'm going to try and do a new set.
Congrats, dude.
Cool.
Congrats yet? Yeah, but it probably won't work. I mean,
Great idea. Yeah.
Think positive.
Yeah.
And it'll also be on the Why Didn't They Laugh podcast, because there will be some moments when they're not laughing. We're going to analyze why.
Clayton.
Fuck you, Tom Brady.
Clayton Thomas Against the World, every Wednesday, Playboy Radio. Go to my website, IamClaytonThomas.com. Check me out. You talk to me, I talk back.
Thanks. And I am going next week. I'm doing the first Just for Laughs Resort Week in Cancun, Mexico. And I looked at the weather. It is predicted to rain every day. Literally 7 days of rain. So you'll be able to find me indoors in Cancun. And the following week, I'll be back on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on November 21st. So that's what's coming up. Listen, people out there, thank you for paying attention. Like I said, tweet. Let me know. Obviously, these guests were brilliant. We had a brilliant panel. I'll try to do this more often. But I hope you like it. Tell your friends and check out the Sideshow Network. I'm on it. Owen's on it. And we'll see you out there. Thank you.